Let's talk about these clinical trials of a second British-made COVID-19 vaccine. They've begun in London. The vaccine, which is being developed by Imperial College, it uses a real different approach to this, which means only a tiny, tiny dose should be needed. The lead researcher, Professor Robin Shattuck, says if it works, they'll be able to make millions of doses a lot faster than they usually would.
We can make the equivalent of 2 million doses in the volume of a litre. So you imagine a litre bottle of lemonade, that would have 2 million doses in it. So when you want to start making vaccine for the world, if this is successful, and that's still a big if, it makes it so much more tractable because you don't have to build a factory the size of several warehouses.
I mean, that sounds like a real exciting development, that. And of course, in the past few days, Prime Minister Boris Johnson has announced a series of measures that will take place from the 4th of next month, easing the lockdown in England. The Prime Minister said that where it's not possible to stay 2 metres apart, people should keep a distance of 1 metre plus. This means staying 1 metre apart while observing precautions to reduce the risk of transmission. OK, well, to try and tackle this, as well as other virus-related news, Professor Bertie Squire has been a great friend of the programme over the past few months. He's Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine, also an honorary consultant in infectious diseases at the Royal here in Liverpool. Bernie, welcome to the programme again. Morning.
Good morning.
If we can talk about this new vaccine announcement, Bertie, if we could. I mean, this isn't the School of Tropical Medicine, but what do you know about this? This sounds like a bit of a leap, doesn't it?
So it's very good news, really, that there are other vaccine candidates coming through, and it's really good news that this is a different technology from the ones that we discussed on the program before. So the fact that it is what's called an RNA amplification vaccine, meaning that only a very small amount of the virus components are needed for the vaccine, this is really, really exciting. We should say, though, that we need to remember this Imperial vaccine is in early phase trials. So it's at the stage where they're investigating the safety of it, getting an idea of what dose is needed, and looking at what kind of immune response it produces. So it's at an earlier stage than the Oxford vaccine trial, which we've talked about before. The Oxford vaccine trial is in phase 3, where it's actually testing whether it's effective. So it's just worth remembering that difference. So this is very exciting, but it is at an early phase still at this point.
It's not a competition, this, is it? Everybody is working together. But the fact that, you know, you're doing what you do at the Royal and at the School of Tropical Medicine and Imperial College and Oxford are doing their thing as well. I mean, this is huge, isn't it? This is never, well, as far as I know, the pace of this thing has never happened before.
No, I think that's absolutely right. The key thing here is the extent of collaboration. And, I think we will expect here in Liverpool to potentially recruit to these other vaccine trials as they come through where we have the capability to help. And I think that's the hallmark of the way in which the medical community and others are working together in a kind of collaborative way. I would just emphasize, for example, that what's now happening as the numbers of COVID-19 cases fall in the UK, it becomes very important to include other parts of the world where the vaccines may be needed. So I know, for example, that our participation in the Oxford vaccine trial is also now recruiting in Brazil and in South Africa. So all in all, that increases the possibility of being able to demonstrate effectiveness. So that collaboration is really key, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a wave, isn't it? You know, we found it from you know, the East, and it just kind of swept all its way through, and now Brazil and the United States and other countries are starting to feel that wave now. And we're kind of in the wake, if you like, is probably a good way to describe it. But I think it's only right to mention the people who come forward and they say, yeah, go on, I'll be part of your trial, because without them, where would we be?
Absolutely, absolutely. And in that respect, I think it's worth me mentioning that yesterday evening, our contribution, recruitment in Liverpool, to the Oxford vaccine trial completed the first phase. So they finished vaccinating more than 600 volunteers, and they've achieved that in less than a month. So that involved, if you think about it, that was involved 2,000 pre-screened volunteers, more than 800 who were actually screened, and then 600 actually vaccinated. And that was achieved in less than a month and with just over 2 weeks worth of actual vaccination days. So, you know, that's a massive achievement. And that it rests on not only the people who do the vaccinating, but also all those volunteers who came forward and went through all those steps.
Let's just move on to lockdown, Bertie, if we may. It's going to ease from the 4th of July. As usual, there's happiness, there's joy, there's celebration, but there's also a little worry and stress mixed in there as well. How do you feel about the current easing plans, this 2 metre down to 1 metre plus with mitigations? I mean, it all sounds very confusing, this, but from your point of view, how do you feel about that?
So I think, like so many people, I have mixed feelings. On the one hand, I really welcome the fact that things are coming to life again, but my reservations are still there. I think about the people who are going to be anxious about this. I think about the fact that we are still not completely on top of this virus. It clearly hasn't gone away. It may have come down in numbers to the point where we can do these easings, but it's not gone. And I think that you mentioned in the lead-in here that where it's not possible to stay 2 metres apart, we will be able to go down to 1 metre from the 4th of July. But I worry that people will hear that we can do 1 metres and will forget where it's not possible. Yeah. And when you think about who's out and about, we may all think, oh yeah, we're all fine, but who knows who's in the queue for the supermarket or the bus, whether there's somebody there who's a little bit more vulnerable and who will really be wanting you to be more than 2 metres away.
Sure. So
that's that kind of balance, as always, with this.
Well, we've all got a role to play in that. And, you know, as we've said pretty much all the time, most people are good. The vast majority of people, you know, they do get it. And just despite the government's announcements, some people, just to finish with Bertie, including, you know, elderly people and people with underlying health problems, have recently been receiving letters saying that you need to remain shielded for, you know, another 6 weeks or so. It's been incredibly tough for them. It's been really, really tough. But they will have their day in the sun.
Yes, they will. I think you're right to emphasise how tough it's been. When you think about what shielding means, we all sort of think about, yes, they've been stuck at home. But it's not just that they've been stuck at home. They may have been stuck at home but have to physically distance from their nearest and dearest, even within their home. So that's a kind of level of isolation that is very hard to sustain. So I think it is welcome that as what's coming up is that people who have been shielding will be able to start to have the kinds of freedoms that we've had for the last couple of weeks or so. So I think that day is coming, but it is obviously really tough. Balance that, though, with the sense of security that they may have had, and now the sense of anxiety that may come with the fact that they can no longer have food delivered at home and may have to go out and do the shopping themselves.
Exactly. Bertie, we can't let you go without your crumb of comfort this week. What have you got for us?
Okay, so I'm going to jump back to the vaccine. My crumb of comfort here is just what can be achieved through collaboration. And the example that I was talking about of that achievement of vaccination is a huge thing. And I think it emphasizes the importance of this collaborative approach. And I just want to make a particular shout out for the nurses of our well-traveled clinic. The School of Tropical Medicine has a wholly owned subsidiary, which has, in normal times would be vaccinating people who are traveling overseas. Now, of course, they've not been able to do that because nobody's traveling overseas, but they've been redeployed to the vaccine trial. And look at what they've done in collaboration with so many others. So that's my crumb of comfort this week.
Excellent. We're getting there. And just to let you know, because I think it's only right to let you know, I've spoken to so many people who've said, I love Bertie's little crumb of comfort. I wish I could take him home. So if you ever find yourself homeless, Bertie, there's lots of people who'd like to take you in.
Thank you very much. I'm hoping I won't be homeless.
Take care now. Cheers. Bye-bye. There's Professor Bertie Squires there from the School of Tropical Medicine.
Oh, it's so nice, isn't it? We could all do with a Bertie at home.
Yeah, let's get a Bertie. Let's get a little doll. Let's get like a little tiny cuddly toy called Bertie at Home. They are. When we're out of this, we can get a little business going there. BBC Radio.